Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're listening to Adam Carriker on The Ticket on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
My mic was muted. All right, my mic was muted. Now we're rolling. It doesn't do any good if I'm flapping my gums, but you can't hear me. Maybe that is better. Does Jake know something? I don't know. All right. So welcome back to Adam Carriker on The Ticket. I'm going to be joined here shortly by former Nebraska quarterback, Mr. Luke McCaffrey. Now, if you've got any questions you want to ask me or you want to ask Luke, okay, text them to 402-464-5685. Jake will shoot me a message and let me know. That's 402-464-5685. I can ask them to Luke, or I can answer questions myself throughout this program as well. If you want to ask Luke, Jake a question at the end, he's going to join me again at the end. Feel free to send a question his way as well. But now, I'm going to be joined by former Nebraska quarterback, a man who was at Louisville for a bit, wide receiver from Rice, okay, Mr. Luke McCaffrey. How you doing, my friend? Hey, Luke, can you hear me?
Yeah,
how you doing? Yes, sir. Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. So, for those who don't know, Luke was here for two seasons, redshirted 2019, played in 2020 during that all-too-fun COVID season. He played in 7 of the 8 games. He had 2 starts. His first start was versus Penn State. They won that game. Now, he was the first Husker quarterback to win his first career start for the Big Red. Okay, since 2013 at the time, he had over 200 yards of total offense. He was actually also the 100th Nebraska player to rush for 100 yards in a game. He also had other games where he played well. He came off the bench, played really well, sparked the Huskers versus Iowa, played well versus Ohio State as well. Okay, had 80 yards rushing on only 9 carries and caught a pass and had a 47-yard touchdown run on the opening drive of the game as well. So, Luke, I got a couple of questions for you. So my first question is this. All right, what was your relationship with Scott Frost like during your time here at Nebraska?
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, any time that you're head coach – is somebody who had been in your shoes as a quarterback at the same university. You know, it's pretty special to have somebody like that who's kind of able to not just relate with you from a understanding of the playbook and from a relation, but, you know, also understand the exact circumstance that you're under. And so, you know, I had a great relationship with him throughout my time at Nebraska, and it was good to kind of have somebody in that role.
So Mario Verduzco was the quarterback's coach at the time. So I'm curious, since Scott Frost was the head coach and obviously calling plays during your time here, former quarterback himself, how much time did he spend in the quarterback's room and with you quarterbacks helping coach you guys himself?
Yeah, he spent a lot. You know, Coach Verduzco took so much pride in how he coached the fundamentals and how he coached technique because, you know, that was his job. He was a quarterback coach. And, you know, he wasn't responsible for getting a game plan. And so when it came to game planning, when it came to getting ready on Saturday, that was usually up to Coach Frost and then, you know, Matt Lubick and Troy Walters.
So Adrian Martinez was the starter, okay, and initially when you got here and then you got the chance to start versus Penn State. You come out, the Huskers win that game. Okay, you were the quarterback during that game as well. I'm curious, because when you're competing for play time, when you're competing for a starting job with somebody, you never know how that relationship's going to be between two guys. So I'm just kind of curious, between you and Adrian, what was that relationship and rapport like?
Yeah, I was so blessed as a young guy. You know, I was the young guy in the room. And so I was so blessed to just have a person like Adrian in that room who, you know, I learned what healthy competition looks like. You know, we were both trying to push each other to be the best that we possibly could be because – we knew that, you know, whether he was playing or whether I was playing, that's what's going to be best for the team, is for us both to be as good as we could possibly get. And, you know, I think that was spearheaded just by his demeanor, his leadership, his attitude. And, you know, as a young guy, I've taken so many lessons from all of these people that you kind of come in contact with. But with him specifically, you know, we grew really close over that time frame because we both kind of got to relate with each other, compete with each other, and understand, you know, every aspect of what we're going through as players.
Now, as I mentioned, you played well against Iowa, played well against Ohio State, got the start versus Penn State, got the win that day. Was there ever a moment in time where it's like, man, and obviously you wanted to be the starting quarterback, okay? But then Adrian would come and he'd start and he got the majority of starts. Was there ever a moment in time when it's like, man, not only do I want to be the starter, this isn't a negative thing, it's like a competitive mindset. Like, I should be the starter. Why isn't that happening? Did that ever enter your mind at all?
No, I think, you know, you go in your freshman year as a quarterback and, you know, most of the time, there's obviously different circumstances, but most of the time you're projected to develop. You know, you're going to redshirt. So, you know, going into my freshman year, I was just happy. I was stoked to be on the field at all. You know, that was a blessing. And then, you know, going into year two during the competition, I was lucky enough that, you know, I kind of got to help out the team in other ways. And so I was really happy to play. Obviously, you know, I'm doing everything I can to compete and be the guy, you know, be the starter. But I don't think there was ever a time that I didn't understand what was going on from that standpoint. You know, if I wasn't playing, I understood that, you know, I wasn't doing things well enough to earn the right to put on the jersey and be the starter. And, you know, besides that, I was sitting there just trying to help the team in any way possible, you know, as a role player, as the starter, as a leader on the sideline, whatever the team needed.
I'm joined right now on 93.7 The Ticket on the Aloe Fiber VIP line with former Nebraska quarterback Luke McCaffrey, who went on to play and finish his college career really strong as a wide receiver at Rice. He's now preparing for the NFL draft as well. We really appreciate him taking time out of his busy pre-draft preparation schedule to join us today. So one thing I remember, and, you know, I could be remembering this wrong. My wife would tell you that happens from time to time. But I do remember one of the games that you started, because you started two games in that during that 2020 season. One of those games, and it may have been Penn State, it may have been the other one you started, but you guys came out no huddle, going fast with you as the starting quarterback that day. And I remember, you know, that's kind of what we had anticipated when Frost was the head coach, snapping the ball, what was it, like every 23 seconds like they did at UCF. I know Chip Kelly did it every 18 seconds during his time at Oregon. But we never really quite saw that up-tempo, fast-paced offense, with the exception of maybe that one start that I'm referring to. And I believe I'm remembering that correctly. Kind of why do you think they didn't do that a little bit more often?
Yeah, it's hard to point to one thing in particular. But, you know, you go into every single week and you're playing, you know, in the Big Ten, all these great teams, and you got a game plan. You got to do a lot of that to where, you know, you can't always rely on tempo and different things like that to where, you know, you want to be in the right play every play. But, you know, I think we did a good job while we were there using it in the moments that we needed it. And so that was one game, you know, we went in knowing that Penn State had a defense that was a little chaotic. They were trying to blitz you. They were trying to, you know, put you under duress as a quarterback and as a play caller. And so we went in knowing that tempo can probably simplify them down. And, you know, there's so many factors that go into getting ready every week that, you know, everybody doesn't see because it's behind the scenes. But, you know, I think it was implemented at different points, and it all kind of just goes into what your game plan is for that week and how you're getting ready for the defense that you're playing.
So that 2020 COVID season, man, that had to be an insane challenge. What was it like playing during that year? That first the Big Ten wasn't going to play football, and then we did play football, and then it was eight games, and it was an all-conference schedule, and then what you could do was limited, and you had to have that thing jammed up your nose every morning to get tested. Like, what was it like during that 2020 COVID season playing during that time?
Oh, my goodness. I tell you what, that was one of the craziest times probably for anybody. But, you know, people forget all the way back to spring ball. I think we were two practices in when COVID really hit and the NCAA shut things down. And so, you know, you don't get that time to be together as a team, to really bond as a team in the off season like you normally would. You know, it was so weird not having spring ball, and then you go into camp and everything that you were talking about, getting tested every day, season getting canceled, and then, you know, getting restarted. And so, you know, that was a crazy time, but I think it taught a lot of people how to kind of overcome adversity, how to work hard and persevere through, you know, obstacles that aren't always there. And so as a player, it was really cool looking back, because I think it helped develop a lot of qualities for everybody that I've, you know, interacted with since then that aren't necessarily physical, you know, mental toughness, perseverance, different things like that. And so I think it was really cool from that standpoint. But, you know, going through that season, you have no idea what to expect. It was kind of like everything was was hitting you as it came, and so nothing was preparation how you wanted it. It was all, you know, last second trying to catch up with where you want to be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Yeah, there were some teams that played full seasons. They played like 10, 11, 12 games. The Big Ten played eight. I think there were some conferences, maybe the Pac-12 even played less, I forget. At this point in time, thank goodness, it's nearly half a decade ago. It's hard to believe it was even that long ago. All right, man, so Nebraska had a chance to play in a bowl game that year. The team voted not to go. I'm just curious what that voting process was like. What were your thoughts on going to, not going to a bowl game that year with Nebraska?
Yeah, it was such an interesting vote, and that's always such a hard decision, you know, when you go into that. I think it came down to we had such a crazy season and we had a whole lot of injuries at the moment. And so, you know, we thought we were proud of where we were as a team. Ultimately, the leadership on the team decided that just with the injuries we had, with the season that we'd gone through, it'd be best to invest in the next season and start getting ready for the future so that we can really compete for, you know, when we were going to be in the off season and we were going to be getting ready for the next, you know, major game.
Were there ever discussions during your time here at Nebraska of you possibly moving to wide receiver, or were you just going to be a quarterback the whole time? Were there wide receiver position change discussions, or how did that go?
Yeah. No, I'm happy you asked that, because I get a lot of flack on Twitter. It's so funny. You know, you don't see a lot of the comments, especially the negative ones, but every once in a while, somebody will just be talking about how, oh, he didn't switch at Nebraska and little things like that. And, you know, I think it's so funny because there was never any talk of me switching positions at Nebraska. I never got asked to. I during that COVID season, we had a scrimmage and a running back had to tie his shoe or something. So I ran in, and that was kind of what we built that other package off of, just because we thought it was fun. I wanted to help the team in any way possible. But, you know, never once when I was there did I ever get asked to switch positions.
Okay, so I think that's what kind of led some folks to believe that maybe the wide receiver discussion had come up, and maybe that wasn't crazy, something you really were crazy about. Maybe that led to you transferring. I don't know. There's so many transfers now in college football. It's very commonplace. Yeah. It's not even that big of a deal. But I'm just kind of curious what ultimately led to you transferring elsewhere.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot. I went through that whole COVID year, and I think by the end of the year, I wasn't playing very well. I don't think that I had in my own eyes, made the most of my, you know, opportunity and potential. And, you know, I saw that Adrian was the guy, and I was rooting for him all the way I could. But I also knew at the time I needed to develop and I needed to get a lot better than where I was, because, you know, I wasn't very good compared to where, you know, I thought I could have been at the time. And so I just thought finding a place where I could go somewhere and you know, kind of get that development, get that learning. And I'm so thankful that I found Rice with Coach Blomgren, because, you know, they run such a pro style offense to where I kind of got the mental development of every one of our plays had a kill, has a check. You know, you're alerting versus cover zero versus sass. You know, you're making kills off the three tech, for those of you who kind of understand that terminology. And so it was great going through that, especially now as I'm going through the combine and going through the Senior Bowl and all this, to where, you know, I really feel like I'm a step ahead of a lot of guys just from the mental standpoint, because I kind of understand, you know, that aspect of play calling and going through a pro style offense. And so that was such a blessing to kind of find this spot at Rice here. And, you know, I'm so thankful for Coach Bloom, Coach Tuiasosopo, our offensive coordinator, and then my receiver coach for the last couple of years, Mike Kershaw.
So this was the only question I wrote down, and I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to like this question or not. So I'm going to ask it. You answer it however you want. Okay, you go to Louisville. I think it's like 7 days or a week.
Oh, yeah.
Why the quick stop at Louisville before you go to Rice?
Yeah, you know, it was such a crazy time for me, because you weren't allowed to visit schools. You weren't allowed to do anything like that. So I really went into that situation blind. I think a big part of me, too, if I'm being completely vulnerable, was a little blindsided by the Power Five idea. And, you know, I felt a little insecure in going to a group of five school. And I think when I got to Louisville, I realized that, you know, that wasn't necessarily the best fit. I think in my head, I was probably trying to force it. And, you know, I just had a really big change of heart when I got there. And I realized that, you know, I'd made a mistake, and it was time that, you know, I had never done anything there. I hadn't worked out or done anything like that. You know, I was just committed there. And so I kind of got to take that opportunity to, you know, make a decision to go to Rice. And I think that's the best decision that I made in my entire 5 years of college. And, you know, I wouldn't take that moment back for anything, even though it probably didn't play out exactly how somebody dreams when you're going through that process.
So you go to Rice. Obviously, the topic of playing wide receiver at Rice is brought up at some point because you went to wide receiver. So when that was brought up, what was your initial reaction? Was your heart set on playing quarterback? Were you like, hey, man, no problem, let's go to wide receiver? Like, what were your thoughts when that topic was brought up?
Yeah, so I was the one that kind of came up with the idea. I went through that first year at Rice. I was here 3 years. And that first year, I was playing quarterback, and I kind of found myself in a similar spot after the 2020 season, where, you know, I didn't think I made the most of my potential. I didn't think I was playing to where, you know, I can. I don't think I helped the team as much as I possibly could have. And, you know, that's not a great feeling for a player. You know, I know any time that you're not helping the team or you're hurting the team, it's not a very good feeling, because you put so much work into it, and, you know, you grow so close with all your teammates. And so after that year, I really took a month of my life to just figure out kind of what my values are, why those are my values, and how it affects my life. So, you know, I kind of just started out by, you know, listing out, hey, why do I work hard? Why do I care about football? Why am I passionate about the things I'm passionate about? And one of the major things I learned was that I just love the game of football. And, you know, I wanted to help the team in any way possible. So that was kind of when I came to Coach Blomgren and talked about, hey, what would you think of this? And I've never been more thankful for how a coach handled that situation, because he gave me a great piece of advice and a compliment that I'll never leave, that will never leave my mind, which was, you know, whether you stick at quarterback or whether you switch positions, it's going to take a whole lot of work, but it's going to pay off one way or another, just because of the way that I approached the game. And so I was really thankful for him saying that. That instilled confidence in me. And ultimately, obviously, I decided to switch positions. We started out by not knowing what that would look like. We talked about playing free safety, talked about playing running back, talked about playing just about every position on the field other than O&D line. And, you know, ultimately, we started at receiver. It kind of stuck. We liked it. And we kind of just rolled from there. I think I'm still so young in that process, but I think the way that Coach Blomgren, you know, let that play out and letting it be organic, kind of letting me come to him, and then, you know, the way we've been able to develop from there has just instilled a confidence in me that just is a testament to how good of a coach he is and how great of a mentor and a leader he is for this program and then, you know, for me individually.
All right, man. Here's the most important question of the entire day. Are you ready for it?
Yes, sir.
All right, so your parents were both elite athletes. You have multiple brothers who played college football, some quarterbacks, some other positions. So I got to ask, your dad in his prime, your mom was fast in her prime, Christian, your brother, yourself, you all line up, 40-yard dash, who wins? Who's the fastest in the McCaffrey family, my friend?
My mom has one 40-yard dash on record that I know of. She was pregnant with my brother, and she ran a 4.59. Wow. And so I think I got to give that with my mom, just based off of history.
All right. Your pregnant mom is faster than I ever was, and it's not even close. So kudos to Mama McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Oh. All right, man. Good luck as the NFL draft approaches. Best of luck in your future. I'll be rooting for you on Sundays, and I appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Adam.
All right, don't go anywhere, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply, in-app only.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Finish up projects with GE-branded silicone sealants. Tub and tile silicone is 100% waterproof and offers same-day water readiness, making it perfect to use in kitchens and bathrooms. Shop our selection of GE sealants in-store and on Menards.com and save big. Plus, check out the weekly flyer to view all of our other great deals happening this week.
Save